So 2019, I thought we would just start off with something kind of light and affirming and make you feel good, and that is that the clock is indeed ticking for all of us. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. We are all growing older. And oftentimes we think of this more as older adults about our aging than younger adults, but everybody is. Children are growing older, teenagers are growing older, we're all growing older. Each year we pass our birth dates, milestone, New Year's a milestone, anniversary dates of the milestone. And, you know, and it's funny how time seems. I've always heard that, I mean, as you get older, time kind of speeds up, and it seems like it does. Though Lisa and I were talking about this, she said, boy, 2018 seemed to go by really quickly, but I thought, it seemed a little slow to me this year, which is okay. I prefer it slow. I'm not seeking it to race by. But this Christmas time, I just found a book, and I started reading it. And it's by Marcus Tullius Cicero. Our founding fathers read Cicero a lot. And he wrote books back in like 44, 46 B.C. He is not a Christian, obviously, B.C. A lot of Christian theologians read them. John Adams read a lot of his material. Thomas Jefferson. They all found things that are valuable. And the book is... that one of the books that he wrote is How to Grow Old. So I have found it very insightful, very helpful, has some wonderful insights that are just true in life and true of what we find in Scripture also. So, you know, guys, men, Valentine's Day is coming up. Your wife would really not want to get a book called How to Grow Old, okay? So don't think about that. But anyway, I would recommend that everybody get it. It isn't a very big book, and it's even half the size that it appears, because one page is in Latin, and the other page is the English translation. So that's kind of nice, too. And one of the things that it tells us in this little book, that the Scripture always has affirmed, is that we need one another. That it's very important for us to recognize that we have a deep, abiding need for one another as we go through life. And, you know, as we go through this, and as you look at this, I'm going to ruin the book for you. It's How to Grow Old. The secret is not to die. Okay. So that's the main way of doing that. But he talks about growing old gracefully. And it's really interesting. And in his book, he talks about intergenerational relationships. And the Bible is full of the idea of intergenerational relationships. So we're going to talk about intergenerational relationships, and I'm going to stumble that word because it's too many syllables. Okay, so you just know that I'm going to do that. But what's important about intergenerational relationships? And the problem is we don't do that so much, and we tend not to do that. There's another old saying that says, birds of a feather flock together. So, you know, when we're young, we kind of hang out with young. When we get a certain age, we hang out with people of a certain age. Older, they start hanging out with each other. And we do that. We do that in our with politics. If you're conservative, you're here. If you're liberal, you're here. If you have a sports team, you're kind of over there, and you're another sports team, you're over here. We like to gravitate to people who are like us. But the reality is we need one another. We need those intergenerational relationships to support one another and to encourage each other. And the Bible talks about intergenerational relationships all throughout the pages. In Psalm 154, it tells us that it helps us to remember God's faithfulness. Look what it says. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So the reality is that we need each other to declare the word of God and his mighty acts to each other. God works in people's lives. He is continually working in people's lives. And when we share stories, it helps us not to forget that he works. Older generations can pass down stories of difficult times and how God saw them through it.
You know, that maybe they didn't know where a paid, you know, where money was going to come to pay a bill, or they weren't sure how they were going to get, survive an illness, or there was some catastrophe that happened to them. They didn't know how they would even turn, you know, come get through it, but God was there and provided for it. A younger generation can share of how God is still working their lives, and how maybe they've gathered with friends and prayed for something, and how God answered it. And the important for that is because speaking to the older generation, the praises of God, it reminds older generation that God is still working. Because sometimes I hear people say, well, it just doesn't seem like God's doing anything anymore. Or it wasn't like it was when I was young. And sometimes we don't think it is because we don't pay attention and we don't see it. So the second thing is, not only does it help us to remember God's faithfulness, but it allows younger Christ followers to be an example to older ones. Now, usually when we think of examples, we think of older examples to younger people, but here the younger Christ followers can be an example. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to a fairly young pastor, and he says this: let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So what we have here is a young person reminds those around them what it looks like to speak and act with eager service, that they're on fire for the Lord, that they're excited. They have not only a living faith, but a lively faith, one that is engaging. And that is refreshing to the older generation. When I was in Texas, I remember this young guy. I was probably 22, 23, but he was 18. He came to Christ. And boy, every time he would talk, he was just about Jesus and what God has done, and how he answered prayers. And he was so excited. And two of the older men were listening to them. And when they walked away, one guy says, boy, he's sure enthusiastic. And the other one was like, yeah, well, we'll fix that. And sometimes that's what happens in churches. You know, people get excited and they're so minimalized and so discarded that their excitement eventually withers. So it's when we're constantly around young people who are growing in their faith, it is a source of encouragement. It is a source of help in our lives. In the book by Cicero, he talks about, you know, what a blessing it is to be surrounded by lively youth when you're in your old age. And it is a blessing, and we should look at it as a blessing. The next thing is that an intergenerational relationships allows older Christians, Christ followers, to teach younger ones. So we need to recognize that as an older Christian, that we have something to say. Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 5. Again, it's another young pastor. The Apostle Paul's writing to him. He says, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. So first of all, you notice he's saying you need to do something that is in keeping with Scripture. You need to do something that enhances and is needed in sound doctrine. And he goes right into what that is, and that is a practical application of teaching one another. Older men are to be sober-minded. That means clear in thinking, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers nor slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, and the word of God so that the word of God may not be reviled. So we recognize that older Christians are important because they teach a valuable perspective to young believers. They are to do it with a dignity and a reverence. We're to teach them how we learn self-control. We're to teach them how we no longer react when people say things, but we respond thoughtfully. We are to remind them and to be encouraging to them to grow in their faith. Now, the danger is, with so many older adults, and Cicero talks about this often, is that instead of being encouraging, there's just a lot of complaining. Complaining about our joints not working right. Complaining about the doctors that we visit. Complaining that the music isn't the same like it used to be. Complaining about, you know, everything, that the youth are not like, that the younger generation isn't as good as the generation that I grew up with. And that's been true about so many different generations. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about the millennials, and they feel a little more picked on, and we might say, well, we were picked on when we were younger. But let me just remind the older generation, our parents didn't have Facebook to post things about us. They had to do the old-fashioned way, get on the phone and talk to somebody. Well, you know what Cicero, and I thought it was a very insightful thing. Cicero says that complaining is about character. If we spend our time complaining, it says more about who we are as a person than anything else. And so it's a choice. And he also said, people complain in all generations, no matter how old you are. So instead of being complaining, we have this opportunity to be encouraging. We have this opportunity to share a word that would bring life and encouragement to the younger generation. And so as older Christians, as older Christ followers, we should take that very seriously. Not only does intergenerational relationships do these things, but it also allows each of us to serve where others can't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 17 and 19, it says this, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? So this is a reminder in the context that Paul's saying is that we are all gifted differently. Some are able to teach. Some are able to play an instrument. Some can sing. Some are great with the sound and putting the wires together and doing things like that. Some are great at working with computers. Some are great with fixing things and repairing things. Some are good with numbers and can keep books immaculately. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. But you know, in another sense, our ages tell us things that we can and we cannot do. You know, as a 58-year-old, I don't quite have the stamina that I have when I was in my 20s, nor do I have quite the strength that I did. So there are some things I just are no longer able to do. I used to not mind getting up on a roof and helping put shingles on and doing things. If I get up on a roof now, I'm a little bit nervous because I don't like the idea of falling. And the reason I don't like the idea of falling is because all the times that I fell. I don't like the results of those things. So we recognize that there are things that younger people can do and can go and be and share and make a difference that older people can't, and vice versa. So we want to recognize that we all have different things that we can do as children. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, during the break between the services. And my father always pushed the limits about things. First, he always let me do things that I should not have done when I was a kid. Like, he worked in a construction company and had a big shop there, and they had a forklift, and you know, that would put pipes and sewer pipes up on shelves. As a 5-year-old, I drove that forklift. Can you imagine that? I don't know what he was thinking. That was crazy. As an 8-year-old, I was digging ditches with a backhoe. Not a little one, but a big one. So, you know, I was thinking, I would never let some 5-year-old do these things, or 8-year-old. Of course, when he was 75, he finally quit playing softball. Because one season, he broke every finger in his hands. He said, I think I should quit. I was just like, yeah, I think you should. So he just became the umpire. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know, there are things that we can do, that we should do, and we shouldn't do. And but we need each other. We need to be intentional. Because it's about real community. It's about being a community of believers. And to be a community of believers, we need people of all ages in order to reach a community of all ages. And it is a community that we should give each other strength through. It's a community that we should encourage one another. It is, we should be enthusiastic about one another. It is a blessing to have young people who are enthusiastic in our lives, but it is also a blessing to them when older people are enthusiastic about their lives too and encouraging to them. So it does take intentionality. It takes a choice of whether I'm going to speak in this person's life. And, you know, I do know my arthritis is kicking up this morning, and boy, it's kind of hurt when I stand and walk. But I'm not going to complain about that to this young person. I'm going to say, hey, so how's school going? I'm going to say, hey, how's your prayer life going? You know, and share those stories that God of God's faithfulness. And it's for the younger person to say, you know, I know that if I talk to him, he's going to tell me stories about when he was in college or in school, and how they had to walk in the snow 3 miles uphill one way. And then during the school day, the wind would blow and the snow would drift, so they'd have to walk uphill back home. Right? So we have those stories. But to be able to sit there and listen. You know, one of the things that I was kind of shocked by was when my brother and my cousins, we were all gathered together, and we were talking about my grandfather and a couple of things that happened in his life and in the military. And there were little notations, and they were like, what was that about? And all the cousins were like, I don't know. And I'm listening. I'm like, you don't know? I know about that. Because Pop said, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, I would tell them the story. Or they would look at pictures and say, well, where was this? Well, this was in World War I. That's when he was in France. These were the pictures he took. He took his Brownie camera to war with him. And so, you know, he was, you know, they didn't listen to his stories. And really, to be able to listen to a person's story is really validating their existence. So basically, we're witnessing to one another that we matter. And another word for that is family. And it is about being family. We all have that, you know, we all have family members that we really enjoy seeing, and we have the ones that are kind of a little kooky, right? The crazy uncle, the cat-loving aunt, whatever, you know, and they're a part of our family, and we love them just the same. And we recognize that as a Christ follower, that in just a moment we're going to have communion, and it's a reminder that we're all equal before the cross of Jesus Christ. And when he came and he died on the cross to save us, and that we confess him as our Lord and our Savior, recognizing we need saving, that it isn't just making us a Christian that gets to go to heaven or go to spend eternity with God, which that's a big deal, but he saves us not only to himself, but to one another. We are saved into a community. We are saved into a family, because that's God's whole entire plan. The whole idea of older men and women teaching younger men and women, and then in other parts of the Bible talks about where you respond as brothers, you encourage each other as brothers. He uses family terms about our relationship. And it all takes intentionality, recognizing that that's what we were saved to, not just to salvation and heaven, but to one another. That we are Christ followers, we're a family of faith.
And so it's important for us to be able to cross those boundaries and hang out with somebody a different age than we are. And sometimes that's a really easy way to do that is hang out where the donuts are. Because we're all equal before the donut bar, right? Hang out there. Talk to one another. If you go by the youth and you hear them making a lot of noise, the thing you don't want to say is, "Hey, quiet in there." Would you want to say, "It sounds like a lot of fun. I wish our class could have that much fun." And then go and stir things up in your class, okay? And, you know, for younger people, if you see somebody, just ask them how they were. Maybe there's a question that you have, something that maybe you had heard about them that when they were younger, ask them. It just takes a moment. It just takes a little time. And it takes a decision.